story. Yes, go ahead.
A whispered rumor arose in the council, and the Sultan became agitated. The hearts of the nobles and the populace of the city were stricken with panic. What disturbance and calamity had occurred? Either a conquering enemy is about to attack us, or a deadly calamity has emerged from the unseen.
Ah, you see, this thinking has nothing with our story. This is what? This is the habit of the people. They normally do that. They don't do the research. The only fellow who could precisely he knows what he's doing is this stupid joker. He knows what he wants to do. A bizarre thing, but he knows. The other people, they don't know. What do they do? Ah, that ego doesn't accept that I don't know. I guess. Everybody has started to guess about, oh, maybe this danger is coming, maybe it's that, and like all the people. Yeah.
For Delquac, riding hard from the country, has killed several Arab horses on the way. The people gathered at the king's palace, wondering why Delquac had come in such a hurry. Because of his haste and the enormity of his exertions, tumult and commotion arose intermittent. One man beating both hands against his knee, while another, from presentiment of evil, was uttering woeful cries.
See, he is talking about the other people, that they do all the serious stuff. Nobody cares about the real thing, that wait and it will be explained. This is us, yes.
On account of the hubbub and distraction and the dread of punishment, every heart went to 100 streets of fantasy.
Please remember, your mind is always has a tendency towards the fantasy. What kind of fantasy? Each person has a special way of making your fantasy. Because the serious life has the responsibility and is problematic. But in those fantasies, you could imagine whatever. And that keeps you busy. Yeah.
Everyone was taken in omen by a conjecture of what had set the rug on fire. He saw
that everybody was taking an omen, predicting or something from comparison, to compare two stuff. That's what the animal does. So does the non-civilized human being. Yes?
He sought admission, and the king at once granted it to him. When he kissed the earth, the king said to him, "Hey, what's the matter?" When anyone asked that sour-faced man for some particulars, he laid his hand on his lips as though to say, "Hush." Apprehension was increased by his gravity, and all were perplexed and dumbfounded by him. Delquac made a gesture as though to say, "O gracious king, let me have a moment to take breath, that my wits may once come back to me, for I am falling into a marvelous state."
Ah, he is the only funny fellow, and he has done all of this for a stupid joke, to say, "Don't count on me," right? But he says, I am in a very special state of mind. Right? Yeah.
After a little while, during which both the throat and the mouth of the king were made bitter by foreboding and surmise.
Not only the all the surrounding people, even the king is worried, because imagination, and they are all provoked with what? With what? Not knowing. Nobody will say, I don't know. Let's hear it. Actually, my imagination, I think it is like this, I suppose it's... That's the sickness of our socialization. Simply somebody should sit and say, I don't know what's going on. But nobody, not even the king, confesses. Yes.
Because he had never seen Dalgwak like this, for there was no companion more agreeable to him than he. He was always bringing up stories and jests and keeping the king in merriment and laughter. When sitting, he used to make him laugh so that the king would grip his belly with both hands and his body sweated from the violence of his laughter, and he would fall on his face with laughing. Today, on the contrary, he, pale and grim like this, is laying his hand on his lips as though to say, hush, O king. Foreboding on foreboding, and fancy on fancy, to the king what chastisement would come.
Ah, now who's talking? Rumi. Not about the story, about illusion and imagination. The mixture of these two factors. So he repeatedly will say, vahm, dar vahm, and khyal, dar khyal. Illusion and imagination. These two is turning even the king around. Because this is what you're doing in your brain, don't you? You don't try to understand. You use your imagination and illusions. Yes, go ahead.
For the king's heart was anxious and alarmed because the Karish Mashah was very bloodthirsty, and that perverse had killed many kings in that region, either by craft or violence. This king of Termit was apprehensive of him, and his apprehension was increased by the artifice of Dalgwak.
That's the point. This king, when I said the king, what do you imagine? You imagine a king sitting up and... No, this is the little king. There is that Khwarazm Shah who is the greater and who could kick his ass, period. This is how it is. When you think about someone, you think about, oh, yeah, that powerful fellow. You don't know that powerful fellow is full of a fear and cannot sleep. Yeah. You don't, do you? This is the point. Because he doesn't let you to see this. He wants you to look at him as a powerful, successful, good fellow, isn't it? So he pretends to be different. But this is the essence, yes?
He said, be quick, tell what is the matter. Who is the cause of your being so perturbed and agitated? He replied, I heard in the country that the king had proclaimed on every highway that he required someone to run to Samarkand in 3 days and would bestow treasures. I hurried to you in order to say that I am not able to do it.
Ah. See how logical, pure, and good it is. No, you cannot think because you really don't understand Dalapach. Has any of you seen some Dalapach? Have you ever talked with one of these fellows? In the stories that we read, normally Dalapach is a guy who is making everybody laugh, but himself, he is not happy. That is the point. This is his job, to make everybody laugh, including the king. This time, he doesn't want to make him laugh. He wants to be honest and simple, right? But that's when problem starts, yes?
For one like me, such angelity is impossible. At all events, do not expect this of me.
Means what? Somehow, he is explaining it, but there is no logic in here. He says that, look at me, I'm unable of doing this stuff, I'm sorry. Yes?
Curse your hurry, cried the king, for 100 confusions have arisen in the city. For this trifle, O half-baked fool, you have set fire to this meadow and hay.
Is he right or not? Say, okay, I appreciate your honesty, you're a good fellow, but look at you, what you did to these old people. You provoked their imagination and fear, because deep down here is fear. There is a corner full of fear. Do you remember it? That was the first thing that you felt when you became alive. Fear. In the womb, somehow you were trying to remain alive. Without thinking, with that basic force of life, right? When you were born, when you want to explain the life, one of the best way to do it is fear of death. A living creature is trying not to die. Nobody likes the death. Am I correct? No. You like the death for your enemy. The one you don't like, you want him to die. This is the animal one. The one I don't like, I pray for her or him to become better, to change. I don't wish them to die. You know why? Because first of all, death doesn't work. How many people we have killed up to now? Look around. Because when you kill someone, the other people, they think that, that fellow was a believer. Now he is in a garden. I'm proud of him. You killed the guy and they're proud of him. And they want to kill you to feel comfortable. This is the killing. Killing is for whom? Killing is for animal. Animal kills the enemy. Human beings shouldn't. You should lead your enemy help your enemy.